Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Well met, fellow adventurers. So last time, we went to the Demon Dactyl Inn and dealt with some sort of tentacle beast from another dimension. And while we were there, we also found one of those icon things. The wood icon of demon fire, and you got 16 Arcania for identifying that. And we've already got that one. So at some point, I'd have read out what it was. So no point doing anything else with that. We're just going to have one more visit to the Demon Dactyl to see if there's anything else going on there. Enter the tavern. The tavern's owner. Tavern's only a famed adventurer. Lilith can often be found mingling with the patrons or consulting with her trusted cavern keep, the burly and friendly to a fold Fimgin. A large door marred by a long diagonal gash, slightly recessed against a nearby wall. Seek out Fimgin. Nothing happens here. Examine the marred door. Standing before the marred door, you gently run your fingers along the edge, the length of the jagged diagonal gash that crosses all three of its worn planks. The crude iron wing affixed to the door's white edge also serves as its latch. Recalling Fimgin's odd reaction when you previously mentioned open the door, you find yourself tempted to do exactly that. A quick glance around reveals the tavern keeper is currently nowhere in sight. Well, let's open it then, because it's there. You gasp the door's iron hatch and tug. Fimgin suddenly appears on your left and gasps out what sounds like a warning. The door's hinges groan loudly as the dark secret is long guarded is at last laid bare. Momentarily aghast at the towering mass about to spill out from behind the door, you immediately leap to the side, hoping you've acted in time. Picking a number. Bonus of 40. 20 from agility, 10 for body, 10 from luck. And gotta get 75 or more. Pick now. 110. Clatter. Crash. Something like that. None of the things around here make a particularly clattering sound. By mere inches, you manage to dodge the clattering delunge that tumbles out from behind the door. Well, at least it's not an elder god. Unless it's the elder god of untidiness. Your quick reflexes have spared you a painful and potentially humiliating encounter. You turn around to behold the tall mound of brooms, buckets, wooden planks, broken chairs, empty casks, and other debris formerly concealed behind by the marred door. Fremgrim winces and sheepishly prods the heap of clutter with the toe of his shoe. "Been meaning to get around to tending to this," he says. The tavern keeper is profoundly apologetic, tells you he intends to clean up the closet as soon as possible. "Shameful to have a hazard like that about," he says. "I'll tend to that, have no fear." Fimgin seems eminently relieved when, with good humour, you accept his apology. The tavern keeper swiftly shoves the entirety of the spilled contents back into the closet and closes his weight against the marred door to ensure it closes. Then, after again apologising, repeating he will work to tidy, work to straighten up the cluttered space, he's hurried off to attend to another matter, commanding his ever-stretched attention. Look at the door again. Okay, I could open it again. With a slight squeal from its dry hinges, the marred door slowly swings open. With the door standing fully open, you gaze upon an open supply closet in dire need of straightening. Brooms, buckets, wooden planks, broken chairs, empty casks, and other debris are crossed, tossed, heaped, and scattered throughout the cluttered space. Sinfimgim has yet to tend to the closet. You close the door and step away. Well, let's have a talk with him. Nah. Fimgin, who shows no signs of ever having known about the Duna open door, or any of the related and howling events connected with it, greets you with a smile and eagerly relates to you some of the more interesting pieces of gossip he's managed to gather from the patrons. There's truth to be found in their tales, if you're willing to dig through it, he says with a wide grin. And you look as you've been keeping well. After conversing with him for several minutes, you take your leave of Fimgin, allowing the tavern keeper to return to his pressing and endless set of duties. Does anything happen if I talk again? The first time they're sort of randomised, but here it seems to be fixed. Buy food and drink. Autumn bog ale. The bitter, wince-inducing ale is not for the faint of heart. The off-putting aroma of this dark ale is matched only by a startling bite and fearsome potency. Frodwood Grimrock, the local brewer of this ale, remains among its most popular brews, despite its somewhat unrefined character. You slowly sip the ale, trying your best not to wince, okay? Cure a statue above the hill, Firth. Perched on a long... Okay, this seems the same as before. You just look at it and it doesn't do anything. Odd painting hanging on the wall. The large wooden frame painting, noticeably tilted to the right, depicts an odd scene. In the picture, a towering black-winged demon-like figure stands next to a group of armoured warriors. The creature appears to be offering a sign of friendship to the warriors, who seem to have reciprocated the gesture. In the background, the yellow sun is poking above a sea of rolling green hills. Alright, straight in the painting. The picture image changes. One of the warriors, a sword thrust into the creature's agape mouth, appears to be trying to sever one of its... He's thrusting his sword into the fallen creature's agape mouth. One other appears to be trying to sever one of his feet. The unmarbled figures gaze down ruefully at the dying beast, tilted to the left. It's changed again. In the picture, a towering, horned, black-winged, demon-like figure stands over a blood-drenched, carnage-strewn field of battle. All around the creature's clawed feet lie the mangled remains of armoured warriors and the foes of death. The horrid beast, its cruel gaze turned towards the sky, stretching wide its fang-filled jaws as to step away from there. Yeah, I think we are done here. Ooh, this is new. An old man wearing a tattered green hat is seated upon a tree stump. He glances in your direction and nods in a friendly manner. Well, let's approach the old man seated on the stump. The old man smiles as you approach and straightens himself up, poking at the shock of white hair protruding from beneath the edges of his battered green cap. Belherk of Westcuth, he says, tipping his hat to you. I've been around here a bit. Make quite a name for yourself. Make no mistake about it. And that's even with all my adventures that kind of disappeared into a timey-wimey ball. Which I think a few of them have. Belherk, a famous fixture in and around the Demon Dactyl, is known for his long and only semi-plausible tales of adventure, which he happily tells to anyone willing to listen. In the mood for a yarn, he asks. I've got more stories crammed into my old head than anyone ought to have. They're not all my stories, mind. But I've got one talent for remembering things. All sorts of things. All right, tell me a story. After a very long while, and it was then, says Bill Hook, as he concludes his long-winded tale, that according to what I've heard, the desperate warrior stumbled upon the fabled gem and ran out of the dark crypt, after which she became a figure of legend. Bill Hook sits back and winks at you. All I've just heard is the honest truth as it was presented to me. He says, can I prove any of it? Of course not. There's no need to fret over such details, small details. Bill Hook seems prepared to embark upon another tale, when he politely hints you must presently take your leave of him. Of course, he says, smiling. Just remember the lessons learned for the story you've just heard. Those lessons are timeless and worth their weight in gold. Fare thee well, and always look out for yourself. With that, you bid him farewell and prepare yourself on your way. All right, let's approach Bill Hook again, who is nearby. Bill Hook, a shock of white hair protruding from beneath the edges of his tattered green cap, sits on a tree stump. He glances at you and nods in a friendly manner. All right, ask for another story. And very long while, at last, says Bill Hook, as he concludes his long-winded tale. According to what I've heard, the heroic warrior stumbled upon the enchanted book and vacated their dark lair, after which she became a figure of legend. Okay, maybe that's actually adventures I've had that fit that. Alright, lots more details, and yeah, he concludes it the same. Right, third story. Tell me a story. It was that moment, says Birrick, as he concluded his long-winded tale. From what I've heard, the fearsome thief stumbled upon the fabled tome and fled the shadowy tower, after which he returned home to a hero's welcome. And then it goes suddenly. Bill Hook reaches into a large pocket sewn onto his threadbare tunic and produces a blue cloth cap. After examining the item for several moments, he suddenly tosses it to you. Is this new? Has no one else got this before? I'm going to check some. All right. I admit, while this has been in the game for a long, long time, probably several years, just going by the section number, I mean, it might be new. It might have been added, slipped in later while no one was looking. It's just, I don't think many people just talk to people three times in a row. But I guess there's sometimes a benefit to that. Because you never know when they might do something different the third time. Anyway, unidentified blue cloth cap. This plain blue cloth cap was given to you by Bell Hook, a somewhat eccentric elderly man who often could be found seated on a stump next to the path leading up to the front doors of the Demon Dactyl Inn and Tavern. Now, I'm going to pause because I've got to update the wiki with this new stuff. Don't ask me where I found it, he says, as you snatch the cap out of the air, because I don't remember. And it won't do any good for waiting for me to remember, because I won't. I've only a knack for recalling stories these days, as you know. Looks like it should fit you well enough. Well, that's not likely. This Sir Croakington's head is rather small. I guess it's a bit of magic. Oh, I hope you can get a bit of use out of it. You thank Bell Hook for the cap, so you tuck it in amongst your other belongings. Bell Hook seems prepared to embark on a telling of a tale. Yep. Alright, let's approach him again. See if there's anything else. And finally, says Bell Hook, Based on what I've heard, the fearless sorceress discovered the magical staff and fled the vile castle, after which he died. He died a gruesome, mysterious death. Can any of it be proved? Very much doubt it. But it's an awful life than digging under proof under every stone, or so I've always felt. Yeah, he's pretty much approached Bohawk. Another story. The deadly sorcerer snatched the legendary treasure and dashed out of the deadly cave, after which he was never seen again. One more time. Fearless warrior, evil staff, deadly castle, after which he lived unhappily ever after. Yeah, it's just a little bit of randomization. Just to keep it interesting. It's more of a prompt for further stories than a story in itself. Okay. Alright, I think that's all we're gonna get from him. Which makes sense. I mean, we didn't even expect the first thing. Alright, identify the item. Which is the Cap of Riddles. And also 16 XP to Arcania. Let's have a closer look at this. Cap of Riddles. Yeah, it's one higher item number. Alright. Stamina points plus 2. Neville Reserve plus 2. This plain blue cloth cap was given to you by Belrock, somewhat eccentric elderly man. Could often be found seated on the stump next to the doors leading up to the front doors of the Demon Inn and Tavern. Each time you don the cap, a confusing riddle takes form in your mind and seems to silently taunt you into attempting to solve it. After several moments, whether or not you've arrived at the answers to the conundrum, the riddle vanishes and you immediately forget all about it. Yeah, okay, I mean, it raises your Neville reserve, so that's actually pretty handy for a helmet. I'm sure, okay, there's Corzon's hood, that's better for that, but yeah, I mean, there's probably a narrow range of situations. It also raises your mind by 2. Anyhow, I'm going to be recording that on the wiki. Okay, the wiki is now up to date. Always up to date as I care to make it anyway. Okay, now we are finally done with the Demon Dactyl. I may pop back there a few more times. But nothing of that greater interest. Alright. Now going through the list, the Hard Hills list, the next up is the Stoneway Coppice. Scattered thickets of oaks and maples, their thriving constituents, towering and ancient, are separated by a snaking maze of broad stone, pathways that wend its way through the centre of the coppice and extend along its outer edges, soaring above the trees. Visible from anywhere in the immediate vicinity are the grand monuments of Pelotas and Darkasicus, adventurers of legends whose heroic deeds have become immortalized in the tales of bards all across the North Broadlands. Well, it's another one of those statues, and as I am utterly mad, possibly, but mad, one, due to the whole Whispered Madness thing, and two, due to the to the lasting influence of what was behind the duo open door, I'm going to continue to climb these statues. But first, I'm going to save. Because you can fall and you can die. It's just a thing that happens sometimes. Alright. Hard Hills, Stoneway Coppice.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And there's the Pavordian Owl House near there, but we've already been there. Visit the Stoneway Coppice. Alright, Pelletas Monument first. Following a stone path that meanders through the maze of thickets, you make your way towards the towering monument to Pelletas. Standing in the shadow of Pelletas' monument, you gaze up at the impressive lifelike recreation of the famous adventurer, its feet anchored to the top of a massive five-sided stone base. The statue depicts Pelletas as he is. A tall, lightly muscled man whose tousled shoulder-length hair frames a face whose features, particularly his eyes, suggest joy, wisdom and nobility. The legendary adventurer, chiseled left hand, rests on the hilt of his sword, which is tucked into an ornate scabbard flanking his white hip. A large heater shield, bearing an engraving that depicts the slaying of a two-headed dragon, stands against his boot-clad feet and covers most of his legs. That probably would make the climbing harder. Alright, examine the inscription at the base. Once again, there's a reward for climbing up. Attempt to climb the monument. Climbing the square... base of the monument proves relatively simple, and after only a couple of minutes you stand at the foot of the towering statue. Staring upwards, you carefully contemplate the perilous endeavour you're about to undertake. A dangerous ascent would be just over 150 feet. Begin the climb. Single-minded of purpose, you cast aside the small handful of nagging doubts and begin the daunting climb up the towering statue. Only 15 feet into the climb, you're beginning to feel fatigued. The statue's smooth surface offers only scattered footholds and handholds, making every movement a struggle, picking a number. Bonus of 60. 15 from agility, 15 from body, 10 from spirit, 20 from feathery. Got to get 60 or more, I cannot fail. 105 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. At just over 30 feet above the base, you begin to look laterally across the front of the statue as you search for any nook or crevice that will allow you to pull yourself higher. Same check again, but got to get 65. 103 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. You're almost 50 feet into the climb. A quick glance down, something you swore to yourself you wouldn't do, reveals the dangerous spot you're in. You're not certain you could even climb down from here. You press on, your hands seeking the next hold as you continue your brazen ascent. Same check again, got to get 70. 75 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. At 60 feet, you begin to question the wisdom of attempting to make the climb. Well, it's too late to do that now. A fall from this height will almost certainly prove fatal. something you try to push from your mind as you struggle to ward off your growing fatigue. Ultimately undeterred, you continue upward. Aim, check, again. 112 success. Struggle to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface. You claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Looking up, without daring to look down, you estimate you're halfway up the monument, perhaps close to 80 feet above its base. The calculation does little to ease your mind, hoping that your fingers will hold out. You seek your next handhold while pausing to catch your breath and ease the burn in your muscles. Same check again. 150 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. A quick upward glance, looking upwards fine, reveals you're nearing the neck and shoulder region of the statue. The observation seems to only increase the tension, realizing that the odd, precipitous angles of the sculpted stone won't provide you with any safe spot in which to rest. You press on, cursing under your breath as your hand scours the smooth stone for its next hold. Picking a number, bonus of 60, yep, same check again. 85 success, but it's pretty close. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Having just surpassed what you surmise to be the 100-foot mark of your climb, you can't help but smile when you consider the reaction of anyone who might at this very moment be witnessing your daring ascent. Your amusement is short-lived, however, as you promptly refocus on the task at hand, a task that requires your full attention, picking a number. Yep, same check again. 92 success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Anchor yourselves around the base of the statue's neck. Looking good job we're not climbing a giraffe, otherwise we'd have a lot further to go. Looking for a way to pull yourself up and onto the side of the head, you whisk a downward glance. From this height, you can make out only the vaguest details of the monument's base and the ground far below. Vowing not to look down until you reach the top, you resume your climb, same check again. 91. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Grasping, with sweat pouring down, swimming down your face, you look up and realise you're within just a few feet of the top of the statue's head, taking care not to let your elation temper your diligence. You return to concentrating on the task immediately at hand, the safe completion of the last dozen feet of your climb. Same check again. 158 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. 64 experience to general, bathed in sweat, with your limbs aching. You haul yourself over the angled edge of the statue's head and come to rest atop Pelachas' monument. After lying on your back for nearly a minute and staring up at the sky, you recover from the arduous climb. You return to your feet and survey the impressive view afforded by your lofty vantage. From your perch atop the statue's head, just over 150 feet above the ground, you can see for over a dozen miles in all directions. The colourful landscape mosaic stretches to the horizon, forging a scene of true beauty that both inspires and exhilarates. Far below, the tops of the towering hardwoods of Stoneway Coppice seem little more than tufts of grass swaying in the breeze, making you particularly mindful of your footing. As you warily make your way around the statue's broad head, careful not to place your feet too close to the edge, you peer down at the realm that seems more peaceful now than you have ever known. Well, actually, it's about equal peacefulness to when I was on top of all the other statues. Suddenly, Alerted by movement to your left, you whip your head in that direction and are startled to find but a tall man clad in a green tunic and a grey cape standing only a few feet away. A wide-brimmed leather hat covers his head, casting a deep shadow that largely obscures his slender face. "Still climbing these things," he says, shaking his head. "Hope that someone would have dissuaded you from it by now. Falling off one of them might do it." No, it didn't. But that's a rather grim thing to say. I apologise for having said it. The stranger tosses you a small cloth pouch, which you discover contains a tiny wave and bone cube. "Now, I've got 7 of them. Keep that safe. Not the pouch, mind you, the cube! If you manage to collect enough of these, something quite extraordinary will result from it." You immediately inquire about something quite extraordinary, but the man shrugs in response. "Don't know any more about it," he says. "Suppose that would be because no one has yet collected enough of these little cubes. You're on your way with them, though. 64 XP to general." The stranger waves his hand and the glowing blue glyph, in the form of the griffin silhouette, appears directly in front of your feet. "Think you already know, but that will get you down in the safest possible manner," he says. "Can't always be around, mind you, so well, that will be that. Take care of yourself. For no particular reason to linger here." You bid the stranger farewell and step onto the glyph. A dazzling flash of blue light erupts from the glyph as you step onto it, causing you to instinctively close your eyes to protect them from the intensity of the glow. Only a split second later, when your eyes spring open, you discover you're once again standing on the ground next to the base of the monument. Alright, I'm going to save now. Just going to pop over to Hawklaw to save. Because I got the thing and I want to keep it. Alright, and Stoneway Coppice. Dark Arcus Monument. Moving along the stone path as it meanders through the maze of tickets, you find your way to an imposing statue of Dark Arcus, draped in the shadow cast by Dark Arcus statue. You stare up in amazement at the near perfect likeness of the legendary adventurer, the impossible book perched atop a massive pedestal. The face of the slender man, his lengthy locks nearly reaching his waist, bears a thin smile that some might consider an adequate expression. His sculptured eyes peer in the direction of the nearby monument honouring Palantis. Are they lovers, perhaps? Lovers? Brothers? Friends? Cousins? Maybe a bit of both. Clutched in the statue's left hand is a tall staff, into which have been carved several ornate glyphs. Dakarkis's frozen posture suggests he might, at any moment, spring to life and assail you with the powerful magic for which he's earned so fierce a reputation. Alright, so this is more of a magi hero. It's nice, because, I mean, most of the heroes we've had have been very swordy. Because admittedly, the most common weapons are swords. Because swords are cool. Examine the inscription at the base. Yep, the reward for climbing up. Alright, I'm going to kind of rush through this. Because it doesn't actually go any different depending on who you're climbing. Begin the climb. I'm just going to wash through there. 15 feet, 30 feet, 50 feet, 60 feet, halfway up, neck and shoulder, 100 feet, base of the statue's neck, few feet at the top. There we are, we're at the top. 64 experience to general. If you want to know more about how it works out, you can just listen to any of the previous statue climbing episodes or earlier in this episode. It's pretty similar, so I skipped ahead. Bathed in sweat, with your limbs aching, you haul yourself over the angled base of the statue's head and come to rest atop Darkarkus' monument. I mean, I'm very glad this person wasn't wearing a mortarboard hat, because that would be extra difficult to climb. Possibly the hardest type of hat to climb on top of. Unless you're wearing a big knob of butter as your hat. But that'd just be a statue of the butter, so wouldn't matter. Yeah, I think by shape, mortarboard hat, probably the hardest. Maybe you have some other suggestions which you could put on the Swift Discord. After lying on your back for near the unofficial Swift Discord, that's the one which I run and where most people are. Because the GM's got better things to do than babysit us Discorders. After lying on your back for nearly a minute and staring up at the sky, as you recover from the arduous climb, you return to your feet and survey the impressive view afforded by your lofty vantage. From a perch atop the statue's head, just over 150 feet above the ground, can see for over a dozen miles in all directions. The beautiful landscape mosaic stretches to the horizon, forging a scene of true beauty that both inspires and exhilarates. Far below, the tops of the towering hardwoods of Stoneway Coppice seem little more than tufts of grass swaying in the breeze, making you particularly mindful of your footing. Now, I suspect that these two characters are from the same account. And that's why they share a lot of stuff. Because it's just one payment. One very large payment, but still. As you warily make your way around the statue's broad head, taking care not to place your feet too close to the edge, you peer down at a realm that seems more peaceful than you have ever known it. Suddenly, alerted by the movement to your left, you whip your head in that direction and are startled to find a tall man, clad in a green tunic and a grey cape, standing only a few feet away. A wide-rimmed leather hat covers his head, casting a deep shadow that largely obscures his slender face. "Still climbing these things," he says, shaking his head. "Hope someone would have dissuaded you from it by now, but I think you know that's not going to happen. Falling off one of them might do it. It's a rather grim thing to say, and apologise for having said it." The stranger tosses a small cloth pouch, which cover contains a tiny woven bone cube, yeah, and he says the same things as he said before. And I also, once again, get 64 experience. You're on your way with them, though. Getting all the cubes, 64 experience, it's only once. And then he makes the glyphon, or something. Alright, anyway, step on the thing. And then I flash, and I'm back on the ground again. I now have 8 Raven Bone Cubes. So only a few more to go. How many more to go? Let me check. Looks like there's 4 more of those cubes to get. Because apparently there's 10 places you can... We'll see. Yeah, I think 11. All right, 1, 2, 3. Let's see. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It might be 10, but I've definitely got most of them. Anyhow, next time we'll be going to the Groggy Giant Tavern. Now, that's an entire player-made tavern, so that really deserves to start in its own episode. There's this dilapidated cavern that's near it, worth a shot. This small, crudely built cabin just inside the edge of the forest east of Corklaw seems ready to collapse. Several planks are missing from the roof, and the cabin's lone door hangs precariously from a single bent hinge. It doesn't appear to be occupied. Enter the cavern. The cavern's interior is in worse shape than its exterior. The plaqued earth floor is covered with mould, fungus, and thick patches of weed. What little furniture is there is largely rotted and no longer usable. Looking around for only a few minutes, you make your way back outside. I'm going to use the skill of feathery to have a closer look. No, it doesn't do anything. Use the power of divination to have a closer magical look. No, this doesn't do anything. It was part of, if I remember correctly, it was part of one of those seasonal events. It concluded there. But now it's just there, waiting there, being kind of useless. But it's ready if we ever need a dilapidated cavern at some other time in the future. And you never know when you might need a dilapidated cavern. Maybe we could put some bandits there. Probably not some bandits. It's kind of terrible. I think you could probably fit, maybe two at most, before it falls down. And then you would have a dilapidated ex-cavern. Or something like that. Yeah, it's there. It's there if it's ever needed. But it may well never do anything again. Anyway, I'm going to save now. Next time, Groggy Giant. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.